Welcome back to our study of Leviticus. We are in chapter 6, and we're going to begin with verse 24. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, I'm going to keep going. Speak unto Aaron and to his son, saying, this is the law of the sin offering. In the place where the burnt offering is killed, shall the sin offering be killed before the Lord. It is most holy.
Notice again, as the Lord gave to Moses the instructions concerning the sin offering. And then Moses' role was to teach Aaron and his sons the proper protocol for offering the sin offering.
And I went ahead and read 25.
And then here the proper protocol, this is what he's given as far as the instructions, was to be slaughtered in the same place as the burnt offerings were slaughtered, and this sacred office was, offering was to be killed before the Lord. If you note this, all these things, they're being killed before the Lord. Okay? We die before the Lord, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good. The priest that offereth it for sin shall eat it. In the holy place shall it be eaten, in the court of the tabernacle of the congregation.
Now, because this is a sin offering brought to the Lord, then the priest had to eat this in a sacred place. Okay?
Whatsoever shall touch the flesh thereof shall be holy, or must be holy. And when there is sprinkled of the blood thereof upon any garment, thou shalt wash that thereon it was sprinkled in the holy place.
And so the priests who offered this, they did it in a sacred place. Everyone who touched the flesh of the sacrifice had to be a priest. In other words, set apart for the service of the Lord. If any of the blood of the slain animal splattered on any garment, then the garment was to be washed in a sacred place. You couldn't just take it home and wash it.
But the earthen vessel wherein it is sodden shall be broken, and if it be sodden in a brazen pot, it shall be both scoured and rinsed in water.
And this is another interesting thing to me. If the vessel that they boiled this sacrificial meat in was made of clay, pottery, then once it's boiled, it was to be broken. In other words, that's the end of it. Can't use it again.
But the... Where am I?
It's 29. Copper.
Thank you.
And it had to be washed and rinsed with water.
All the males among the priests shall eat thereof. It is most holy.
Any male of the priest could eat a sin offering, but these offerings were sacred, and so it had to be only the priest who could partake of these offerings. They were set apart to eat them, okay?
And no sin offering whereof any of the blood is brought into the tabernacle of the congregation to reconcile withal in the holy place shall be eaten. It shall be burnt in the fire.
And so if a sin offering was brought and that the blood was brought into the tabernacle of meeting to make an atonement, then in the holy place, you remember how in at the beginning when we were looking at this, that the Israelites sin, and if the priest sin, then that had to be taken in to the holy place and the blood put on the altar of incense. Mm-hmm. If that was taken in to the holy place, then that meat was not to be eaten where that blood had been applied. That was an atonement there. And you think about all the different rules and regulations concerning all these offerings. The priest had a lot to remember. Moses had a lot to remember and a lot to instruct and to oversee. to where he was certain that they were getting all these things done in the way that God wanted them done. And then that sin offering that could not be eaten was to be totally consumed by fire. Totally consumed.
Now you think about and Pete just mentioned this, how specific this protocol, all these different sacrifices, and how detail-oriented the Lord was with his instructions here. And we know that, thank the Lord, and I mean that so sincerely, that we're under grace, we're not under this law. But I do see, what I see in this of what this means to me is that I can go to the Lord for very specific instructions, that he will speak to me and tell me what I need to do, when I need to do it, if I'm sensitive to his Holy Spirit. And I also see the principle here embedded that the Lord will speak to the oversight and give instruction that needs to be carried out. And so to me, that testifies as a testimony of how important that the pastors are and the oversight in a local church are, how important they are, that they need to be sensitive to hear from the Lord, to give instruction to the people that the Lord's placed in their house, you understand. And so there's a lot of parallels I see with this.
You think of the body of Christ, think of your physical body. Every member of your physical body has a function. Your arm has a function, your hand has a function, your leg, so on. Not every member does the same thing, right? And some are more dominant than others. Some are used more than others. Some parts of your body is not even seen. And yet, it's what keeps your body alive. And so it's not a fact of who's in what position. It's a fact of being responsible for whatever your position you're in. If you're an ear, you have the responsibility to hear. If you're an eye, you have the responsibility to see. If you're a foot, you have the responsibility to walk, right? Mm-hmm. And it's the same way with the spiritual members in the body of Christ. There has to be order. What would happen if every member of your body just going to do its own thing when it wanted to do it? You would call it spastic. Mm. And you know where you get brain damage or where there's a brain not functioning properly, then you get spasmodic movements out of your body, right? Which can be detrimental. It can be dangerous and this type of thing. It's the same way with the body of Christ. We have to know our function. We have to stay connected to the thought source, which is Jesus Christ. Whether he's speaking to your heart, whether he's speaking through his word, or whether he's speaking to you by divine inspiration through someone else. You follow me? But still, we have to be listening to the Lord, to where we're not being spastic, to where we're not operating out of our function, if you will. I'm so skeptical to use these words on positions and things of this nature, because it just goes to people's head. They think of this title and that title and all. No, what's your function in the body of Christ? Then just do what you're called to do. You're called to oversee, oversee. You're called to serve, serve. Just do what you're supposed to do. And if everybody does what they're supposed to do, everybody be happy. It's just a fact of learning what your function is. Okay? You know, Israel had their problems. They had their rebellion. Moses had a function. He was over the entire nation. And even though Aaron is designated as the high priest, Moses had the responsibility to make sure that Aaron is following protocol. Mm-hmm. And to correct him. You with me? So it's not that he's bullying. It's not that he's better than. He's accountable to God for what God has made him responsible for. We're all accountable to God for what God has made us responsible for, regardless of what function that is.
That's good. You know, as we're reading about the duties of Aaron and his sons and the priests, I don't think we have a full concept. Let me rephrase that. I still do not yet have a full understanding, I don't think, of how many people were involved to keep all of this going. Because we'll read later how the Levites were given to Aaron and his son for the service of the tabernacle. There were a lot of people that needed to be in place doing specific jobs and duties to take care of these animals, to take care of skinning the animal, slaughtering the animal, taking care of the blood. And there are a lot of moving parts to all these instructions here to see that they were fulfilled. Something else when you really start
somebody
thinking about it.
Somebody had to wash the pots and clean up the stuff, carry out the ashes. And
mm-hmm.
I mean, there's so many things that goes on that nobody even knows about. We just see, we have just a little bit of detail in the Bible.
Yeah.
But I don't know that I can comprehend what was involved on a daily basis. You know, we were reading today where Solomon's dedicating the temple, offering 120,000 sheep. What was it,
22,000 bulls
and oxen. Now, think about that. This festivity, this dedication lasts 2 weeks. Now, you think of 2 weeks of slaughtering 142,000 animals. And preparing all those animals. I can't imagine that.
I can't even imagine that. That many animals in one place.
I'm going to tell you, it's going to take more than just a small team to do that, you understand? But if everybody's doing their part, then it flows very smoothly and you can get it done. And we don't say that they didn't get it done. We say that they did get it done. He says he offered.
You know, it says Solomon offered.
Yeah. Well, and it's like Moses did this or Moses did that. We know that no man's an island. It just means that he had the responsibility of seeing to it that it was done. And so he's generally credited for doing that, but it involves many people. No minister can run with one person. You understand? No church can run with one person. It takes many. And depending on the vision that God gives you, it's how many personnel, how much personnel you have to fulfill the vision. Now, we have to make sure it's the vision of God and not just our own vision. And then if we pray and get the right people in the right position, then things flow smoothly. But if you're just doing your thing, you can be hiring and firing on a regular basis when everything's not going just like you think it ought to go. But when you get the mind of the Lord, things run much smoother.
All right, chapter 7. This documents proper protocol for offering a trespass offering, a peace offering, the forbiddance of eating fat and blood, and the portion of the peace offering allotted to Aaron and his sons, the priests.
So this is just a continuance. You have to keep this all together. And so often it sounds redundant, but it's a reiteration and God making sure that You get the instruction, okay? Not that we are following these things, but we get the principle mm-hmm. out of these things. What is the principle? God is not going to let you do it your way. And Him accept it. You can do it your way, but it won't be an accepted sacrifice. You with me?
Yeah.
You can build your house, but if the Lord doesn't build it, it's worthless. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the principle to be gleaning out of this, okay?
Likewise, this is the law of the trespass offering. It is most holy. In the place where they kill the burnt offering, shall they kill the trespass offering, and the blood thereof shall he sprinkle round about upon the altar.
See, we talked about the sin offering, talk about the trespass offering, we talk about the sin offering, we talk about the trespass offering. You with me?
Yeah.
But it says this to be slaughtered at the same place that the burnt offering animals were slaughtered at, and the blood of this trespass offering was to be sprinkled around the altar. And obviously that's talking about the brass altar, to where they offered the sacrifices.
And he shall offer of it all the fat thereof, the rump and the fat that covereth the inwards, and the two kidneys and the fat that is on them, which is by the flanks, and the caul that is above the liver with the kidneys, it shall he take away. And the priest shall burn them upon the altar for an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a trespass offering.
So all the fat of the sin offering was to be offered. All of it. The fat tail, the fat that covered the internal organs along with the kidneys, and the fat that was on them near the flanks and the lobe of the liver, which was removed with the kidneys. And then the priest was to burn them on the brass altar as a burnt offering to the Lord. And this was called a sin offering. We're going back and forth, right? Trespass,
yes.
sin, trespass.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Every male among the priests shall eat thereof. It shall be eaten in a holy place, or the holy place. It is the most holy.
Now here is specific in saying that all the males who were priests could eat the meat of this offering. However, it had to be eaten in a sacred place because the sacrifice was sacred.
As the sin offering is, so is the trespass offering. There is one law for them. The priest that maketh atonement therewith shall have it.
So the sin offering and the trespass offering had the same law. One law for the both of them, okay?
And the priest that offereth any man's burnt offering, even the priest, shall have to himself the skin of the burnt offering which he hath offered.
And so the priest who offered the burnt offering could keep the hide of the animal that he had sacrificed.
It's interesting, isn't it? And all the meat or grain offering that is baked in the oven, and all that is dressed in the frying pan and in the pan, shall be the priest that offereth it.
Now here you can see the grain offering could be baked in the oven or baked in a pan or made in a frying pan, whichever the case, it was given to the priest.
And every meat offering mingled with oil and dry shall the sons of Aaron have one as much as another.
Now the priest is responsible for offering that.
Mm-hmm.
And every grain offering, whether it was mixed with oil or whether it was dry, was to be given to the sons of Aaron. The offering was to be equally divided among them. So part of the grain offering was offered to the Lord, the remainder went to the priest. Both dry meaning it didn't have the oil or the frankincense mixed with it. And the mixed, obviously it had the oil and the frankincense, right?
Mm-hmm. And this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which she shall offer unto the Lord.
So, in addition to the unleavened cakes, or what may be called wafers, Then also an offering of 11 bread cakes was to be brought with thanksgiving offerings. So everything was an unleavened sin offering, yes. But there was some things that was brought that was leavened that was given to the priest.
And in verse 14, and of it he shall offer one out of the whole oblation for a heave offering unto the Lord, and it shall be the priest that sprinkleth the blood of the peace offerings, and the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until morning.
So now we're talking about a peace offering. And so the one bringing the offering was to give a cake of unleavened bread, a cake of leavened bread, as a sacrificial present to the Lord. And the offering belonged to the priest who sprinkled the blood of the peace offering. The meat of this peace offering, or the thanksgiving, had to be eaten on the day it was offered. None was left until the morning. They weren't eating the leftovers, you understand? This is just tremendous protocol. This is something that God required. You take it all, okay? Mm-hmm. You get your peace today. You eat it today.
That's good. I like that. Okay, verse 16. But if the sacrifice of his offering be a vow or a voluntary offering, it shall be eaten the same day that he offereth the sacrifice, and on the morrow also the remainder of it shall be eaten. But the remainder of the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day shall be burnt with fire.
Okay, this is a voluntary offering, as it's called. But a voluntary offering was a spontaneous offering. It's not that you had done anything wrong. You just want to give an offering to the Lord. And so this offering was to be eaten the same day. However, any meat that was left over could be eaten the next day, but not after that. It could not be eaten on the third day. If there was any meat left over from the second day, it had to be burned, obviously, with fire. It was not to be eaten. And if anyone ate meat of this sacrifice on the third day, then the peace offering, the voluntary offering, was not acceptable to the Lord. It was offensive. And so the one who ate the meat on the third day would be held responsible for disobeying God's command.
And this sounds like we get to reading this, and it can, and forgive me, but it can seem laborious, can it? You have to dig deep. You've got to pay attention. But, you think about this. I'm thinking, okay, Lord, a voluntary offering. We do that, don't we? When we just want to praise the Lord out of our heart, when we want to just give to the Lord because we love Him. So we do the same thing. He knew that our hearts would be inclined to want to do that when we love Him. And you think about the peace offering. I think, yeah, Lord, I've done that too. Lord, I'm sorry I've sinned. Forgive me. I thank you that you forgive me. I love you. I'm sorry I erred. And so, as laborious as this can be, we need to read it, right? We need to consume it all. This is the Word of God, and we consume all. Jesus said, consume all of me. Take all of me. He is the Word of God. So we'll keep on going here with verse 18. And if any of the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings be eaten at all on the third day, it shall not be accepted, neither shall it be imputed unto him that offered it. It shall be an abomination, and the soul that eats of it shall bear his iniquity.
So the Lord was very explicit, telling Moses, listen, you warned the Israelites, do not eat the fat, the bulls, sheep, goats. This is what's offered to the Lord. Remember that?
Yeah.
Don't eat the fat. all the fat was to be burned for the Lord, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. He said, warn them. Don't do it. You know, so often we bring condemnation on ourselves by doing things that God told us not to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's warning the entire nation, don't do it.
I'm behind you. I'm going to catch up. Verse 24.
You on verse 24? Am I behind or ahead?
You're ahead, but I'll get it. I'll catch up. 24, right?
Well, you got anything you want to say on verse 24?
No, I'm going to read it. And the fat of the beast that dieth of itself, and the fat of that which is torn with beast, may be used in any other use, but you shall in no wise eat of it. For whosoever eats the fat of the beast, of which men offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, even the soul that eats it shall be cut off from his people.
So you could use it in other ways as far as the fat goes, if it wasn't offered to the Lord of these things. You understand? And so when you look at what he's saying, if an animal died or was killed by another animal, then the fat could be used. If you want to make soap or whatever the case may be. Okay?
Okay. Moreover, you shall eat no manner of blood, whether it be of fowl or of beast, in any of your dwellings. Whatsoever soul it be that eats any manner of blood, even that soul shall be cut off from his people.
So you couldn't eat the fat, and you couldn't eat the blood. If you ate the blood of any animal or bird, then anyone who ate that was cut off. Same way with the fat on those animals that were sacrificed. You couldn't do it. You cut off. Pretty serious business, isn't it?
It is pretty serious business. I was just thinking about how important the blood is. We know that the life is in the blood. And we know how important Jesus' blood is for us. And so all this is pointing, in my mind, all this is pointing to Jesus. Jesus did tell us, this is my blood, drink my blood. Don't consume any other, consume me.
You think about it, life is in the blood, is what he tells us, okay? I don't want you taking any other life into you. But when Jesus comes on the scene, he's inviting you to take eternal life, his blood. That's why it tripped up the religious people. When John chapter 6, he said, eat my flesh and drink my blood. This man's out of his mind.
Yeah.
He's telling us to violate the law. But he's not telling them to violate the law at all. He's saying, take my eternal life into you.
Mm.
You understand? Take my word into you. The word became flesh. So when he's saying, eat my flesh, eat my word, drink my blood, drink my life. Take my word and my life into you.
That's good. Verse 28. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, he that offereth the sacrifice of his peace offerings unto the Lord shall bring his oblation unto the Lord of the sacrifice of his peace offerings. His own hands shall bring the offerings of the Lord made by fire. The fat with the breast it shall he bring, that the breast may be waved for a wave offering before the Lord.
So if one brought a sacrifice as a peace offering and presented it to the Lord, then the person offering the sacrifice, that sacrifice had to be burned on a brass altar, and that person had to personally bring it. Now, I was thinking about that. So people today, we like this word proxy.
Oh.
Someone stand in for you. it has its place. But there are certain things that no proxy can do for you.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to go before the Lord yourself. You with me? You can't have some substitute going for you. So the person offering this peace offering, this sacrifice, had to personally bring that to be burned on the brazen or the brass altar and presented to the Lord. And then the fat of that and the breast were to be given to the Lord. And the breast was to be waved before the Lord as a wave offering. That means the priest held it up and he waved that before the Lord. God orchestrated this. I wouldn't dare say that that was dumb or crazy. Because to say that would be saying that God is. You with me? And there's a lot of significance to the things that God does that we don't know. And so our position is to obey God, not question God, or not to judge the things that God's saying, but just to simply fulfill them.
Verse 31. And the priest shall burn the fat upon the altar, but the breast shall be Aaron's and his sons'.
Now note, both are presented to the Lord. The fat's consumed, but the breast is given to Aaron and his sons. Okay? That's their portion.
Mm-hmm. And the right shoulder shall you give unto the priest for a heave offering of the sacrifices of your peace offerings. He among the sons of Aaron that offereth the blood of the peace offerings and the fat shall have the right shoulder for his part.
Actually, what it says is a right thigh from the sacrifice of the peace offering was to be given to the priest as a present. And the priest who's actually offered the sacrifice, actually offered the blood and fat of the peace offering, then he was to be given the right thigh as his portion of the sacrifice.
That's good. Where am I? 34? For the wave breast and the heave shoulder have I taken of the children of Israel from the sacrifices of their peace offerings, and have given them unto Aaron the priest and unto his sons by statute forever among the children of Israel.
So the breast and the right thigh was a perpetual statute to the Israelites that when you bring this offering, this goes to Aaron and his sons, to the priest.
A lot of people think that the breast...
Well, you guys questioning whether that's shoulder or thigh. Okay, check me out.
A lot of people think that the breast is the best part, the meat, like the chicken. A lot of people like that. Yes, you give God your best. And Aaron, as he was the representative for God, so in actuality, that was going back to the Lord, wasn't it?
How do you give to God here? If you can't just throw money up to heaven and give to God. You can't do a service of God just throwing it up. You're going to do service for God by serving people. You understand? God moving on you to do whatever service there is as far as people goes. If you're going to give to the Lord, you give through people. You understand? If you bring to a church, and then the oversight of that church is responsible for how the Lord's money is used, how the service of the Lord is to be carried out. So we serve the Lord by giving to people. So that's why when they present the breast to the Lord, it's going to the representative of the Lord. Okay?
Sorry, I got lost here with my place. I was sitting thinking about that wave offering. And my heart's desire is to find the principle in this and how this all relates to us. And I'm thinking, Lord, we don't do that. But how many times have you ever just been alone with the Lord and you have your hands up in the air and you're just praising Him and waving back and forth without even realizing it? I thought, yes, Lord, we've done, I've done that.
That's your wave up.
I guess it might be. I guess it might be, but I just appreciate in all this how specific the Lord can be with His instruction. And He is so good. And can you imagine, I mean, do you think about Jesus fulfilling, taking care of all this for us? Y'all, we are definitely under a better covenant. So praise the Lord.
You want to try to get that last part before the time runs out?
Am I on 37? Where am I?
35. 37, 38, actually.
I haven't done this one.
Huh?
I'm going to waste all my time talking about this. You want me to do 37? This is the law of the burnt offering of the meat offering.
I'll tell you what.
Can we stop?
Let's wait on it.
Good, because we need to talk about the anointing.
There's too much to say to it, okay?
Yeah.
So we'll pick it back up with our next session, okay?
Yeah, we've got the anointing.
Yeah, that is the Tory. He hands with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. So, Lord, we invite you to rise up. Let your enemies be scattered and those who hate you be before you.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.